We're learning today about new safety measures following a spate of accidents involving railroads that haul volatile crude shipments, including one last week in western Pennsylvania. Joining me on Reporters Roundtable with details is State Impact Pennsylvania's Katie Culinary. Katie, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Dave.
What are the key points of the agreement with U.S. transportation officials?
So for the last month, the railroads have been holed up with federal transportation officials as well as the trade groups for the petroleum industry to try to figure out, without waiting a year for regulations, what are some things that we can do immediately to try to address this string of, in some cases, deadly and in some cases, explosive oil train derailments that we've seen really since the shale boom picked up in 2008. So this agreement that was revealed by the Associated Press today says that they're going to do three things, Dave. First of all, they're going to slow down oil trains through major cities like Philadelphia, where these trains are coming through. And second of all, they're going to increase track inspection. And thirdly, they say that they're going to boost emergency planning in the regions where these trains are rolling through. They're going to try to make sure that local first responders are trained, that they know what's being hauled in these trains and the volatility of this crude oil that seems to be behind a lot of these explosive derailments that we've seen.
Should there be concern, though, that each of those three areas of regulation are voluntary rather than mandated?
Environmental groups have never been fond of voluntary actions by an industry because they say, well, there's no way to police it. There's no way to enforce it. But on the other hand, they have also expressed concerns in the past about the regulations we do have and not enough ability to enforce those. So I think what you're going to hear probably, especially from the environmental advocacy community, is that these trains should just be stopped altogether until we really have a handle on what exactly needs to be done and how we're going to enforce safety.
Have you heard from any refiners in this regard?
Yes. Actually, yesterday, before this agreement was made public, I had the chance to sit down with Phil Rinaldi, who is the CEO of Philadelphia Energy Solutions, which is the new Sunoco refinery that operates in South Philadelphia. They are the single largest consumer of Bakken oil that comes out of North Dakota. And these trains, many of you have seen them, they run right through Philadelphia. And after the accident that happened over the summer in Lac-Mégantic in Quebec, where 47 people died and the downtown was just reduced to smoldering rubble. He said that he took that incident very seriously and dispatched three people to the site and to bring him back some information.
And that was such an awful tragedy, it's hard to speak about it because it's, you know, it's very hard to justify, you know, what triggered that event.
But to what extent is that event representative of the general risk of the industry?
Right. Well, that's something that I asked him as well, because none of these other incidents have really been so deadly. This derailment that we saw last week in western Pennsylvania, that actually involved heavy crude oil that was destined for a refinery in New Jersey. So not entirely linked to his industry and to his business. But he said that he does accept a certain amount of risk that comes with what he does.
You know, maybe this is a little bit of a learning as we're going along, but railroads have been pulling cargo for just too many years to believe that they can't do that safely.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Dave.
State Impact Pennsylvania's Katie Culinary. Also this week, federal prosecutors charged 10 members of a Philadelphia construction union with using threats and violence to force contractors in the region to employ their members. WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies joins me to talk about the charges against iron workers Local 401. Dave, review the charges. They are serious.
Yeah, they're accused of beating people with baseball bats in some cases and committing arson.
Put this in context.
Well, you know, Philadelphia's reputation as a tough union town, but not since the 1980s when the FBI charged a whole slew of leaders of the Roofers Union with violence against non-union members have we seen anything like a labor organization being hit with these kinds of charges. And I should note, Dave, this is not a case of, you know, a couple of union members allegedly getting carried away on a picket line. The prosecutors say that the union's leader for decades, Joe Dougherty, directed his members to exhibit this violence on contractors.
So we have seen some public accusations that Philadelphia construction unions have slashed tires and bullied contractors in recent years, and I'm sure some are trying to connect those dots backwards.
Yeah, a lot of people will say this proves that, but no. I mean, these charges are limited to this one union. You know, however, Ed Hanko, the special agent in charge of the FBI here, said in the news conference that these crimes have gone on for a long time, that a number of people have been victims and haven't reported it because they just thought that was the way business is done. Now, we don't know if the feds are going to be looking into other unions, but it may be that federal authorities will get complaints from others and that some other unions could be subject to scrutiny.
Dave, what response have we heard to date from Local 401 members?
Well, the 10 members who were charged pled not guilty, and they're going to have their day in court. It'll be interesting to see, by the way, whether one of their own members was acting as an informant against them. The indictment has a lot of verbatim quotes with some very salty expletives, and it'll be interesting to see whether those came from FBI wiretaps or perhaps an informant within the union. But there is an interesting debate, Dave, about how common it is for this kind of violence to be exhibited by unions. Pat Gillespie, who's the head of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council, says union guys will get in people's faces on picket lines to make the point that people should be hiring union workers and preserving good jobs and good wages, but that they don't exhibit this kind of violence. You'll hear other people say that this happens all the time, but that the victims are reluctant to report it, either for retaliation or because they think nothing will happen. I have no independent way of saying how common these kinds of occurrences are, but most of the things you hear about involve a stare, you know, a shouting, some picketing rather than violence.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies on Reporters Roundtable.